Welcome to another edition of Leading and Growing a Real Estate Business podcast show. Coach James Short as your host, aka Shorty. And do we have a guest for you? This is going to be a fun-filled interview. Taylor Shepherd is the quintessential real estate industry disruptor and has been for many years. Currently, his venture, V Recruitment, has revolutionized how real estate businesses deal with employment by his creation of a recruitment subscription service, which has taken his business from sales mode to supply mode. With 15 years experience across the industry in property sales, people management, franchise growth, business building, and network creation, he has created a business which he's hoping will change how recruitment will be done in the industry for years to come. With his subscription-based model growing rapidly across Australia and with smart numbers, Taylor has been able to create a service which sees his clients able to save, guess how much? Up to $130,000. I'll repeat that, up to $130,000 a year in recruitment costs. See, while still hitting a profitability number, which makes sense for growth. Going into his fifth year in business and coming off a whirlwind of hard times, both personally and professionally, he's trying to change the industry for the better with the simple ideal of paying $11,000 for a receptionist is absurd and highway robbery, he explains. To describe him properly would to be say that he is a measured powerhouse with a bedside manner of rodeo clown. Boom, boom, let's take it away. Taylor Shepherd, dude.
Boom, boom. What's going on? I had that written for me. Full disclosure, I had that written for me, my mate. And I looked at it and I was like, God, I look like a fucking wanker. You know what? I'll take it. Because you know what? It's all true.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yep. Yep,
mate, feels like I should be selling $20 million homes in Rose Bay, you know?
Love it.
I don't even know. $20 million homes in Rose. I don't even know. That's how uninvolved I am. My God.
So, mate, you've had the journey, right? You've done so many things within the industry, and you started as a little whippersnapper. Before recruitment,
did not want to get into real estate, mate.
Tell me about that. What happened there?
I'm second generation. So my dad was a real estate agent and a property developer here in Australia and overseas. And my whole life centered around real estate. My dad would leave church on a Sunday and go and show someone a house or go to a development site. And I was like, oh, boring. And then I'm one of six boys. So, of course, a lot of them got into real estate. And so I was the smart one, right? I was the smart one. I'm going to uni. I got into uni. I was going to be a psychiatrist. Get a medical degree and then real estate.
Came knocking on the door.
Oh, my brother said to me, do you want to come be a receptionist? I'm just, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. And then 6 months later, everything, kitchen sink, doing everything, family business, amazing. And now I haven't left, can't get rid of me.
That's it. You're embedded into the fabric of the industry. So
don't say that. Oh,
mate, you like that one? You like that one?
Oh no, that's why I my funeral one day. If someone says that, I'm gonna get up from the grave and be like, you shut your mouth. How dare you?
So talk to me about V Recruitment, right? Because you've been on a journey with this and you've really hit the nail on the head. It's a real game changer of what you're offering. Yeah, totally right.
Finally,
and so how did you come up with this thought process of the subscription-based model? Because you were in the recruitment space prior. So what was that?
I used to have a recruitment business for 2 years in my early 20s. I had no idea about recruitment. I just hated dealing with them in form of business before that. Started a recruitment business, did very well, sold it within 2 years. How good? With some good contracts. And then I said, I'm never going to get in recruitment again. And then I left the job and working for someone else, which is never a good idea. I should never work for people. It's the number one thing I've learned in my career, never be an employee because I'm a horrific employee. I don't like bureaucracy. I think you know that about me.
Yes.
Someone said, can you come help me? I was going to another job and they said, can you come help me for a couple of days? I'm setting up a recruitment company. I was like, okay, whatever. I've never heard of this person before. About a month later, I owned the business. Typical me. What do you mean? I'm not a control freak. Nah. I don't take over. It's not my personality. I'm cool as a cucumber. Shy and retiring is how most people talk about me. And then I don't like, what's a nice way to say it? I love recruitment. I don't like how the recruitment industry works. Yep. So I've never worked in another person's recruitment business. And that's my biggest pro, I guess. And I just got over the fact of sending out money that I, for something I did in 2 hours, sending out asking for 18 grand, something I did in 2 hours. Now, I can understand that through property sales, right? But recruitment, I was like, oh, I was talking to business owners and they were fighting me on fees. And I knew why they were fighting me on fees, because they were getting, they hired a receptionist and I said, can you give me 15K? And for a small business, if people don't understand the numbers of it, that's fucking absurd.
Yep.
I was making great money. You know, we live in large, the boys are doing good. But the recruitment business, unlike the real estate business, we don't have a monthly recurring income. It's as if you just had a sales team as a real estate office, which is very, very difficult to survive. The overheads in real estate are a lot higher than those, a lot lower than those in recruitment. And so it just got to the point where we were really like, we'd have a month where 300 grand would go in the account. And then the next month we'd have 40. And so I've always been a person that I don't go to Macca's, I go to the gym. So I'm very, you know me, I don't like letting go of a dollar. And so I went into 2020, I was in 2018 and 19, went into 2020, hired staff. We're going to be a contingency recruitment business. Great year for me. Awesome. Little thing called brain cancer, little thing called COVID, exiting a business partner. It was just, you know, delicious. And I lost my mind. But my business model comes from me having a mental breakdown. You and I met in April of 2020, I believe it was, and I was sitting there with my little chemo beanie on.
Yes,
just going, it's over. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And you being like, yeah, it may not be over. And I was like, please, don't even tell me it's over, please. And it, you know, I got to the end of that year and it was a really tough year. We weren't old enough to get JobKeeper. We had a lot of things outside the business that were affecting it. The market was horrific. We were new guys in the market. So our push through when people are looking for trusted sources, we didn't have that kind of exposure. And so it got to the point where I said, I've got to radically change this. I was sitting there sending out an invoice to a business of five people for a property manager for $22,000. And I just thought, this guy sold seven houses in 8 months. His property management department is 220 properties. Where the fuck is he going to find over 20 grand to pay to me? And let me tell you, I thought I was nimble enough to change business types. I remember telling, I've got all my little big post-its all over the glass wall. Mate, I'm fucking doing it. And I thought, you know what? It could be an app. It could be AI. It could be tech. And then it came down to, well, no, it's not going to be any of that. It's got to be a really good service that's customer focused, that makes sense for my retention. And so we came up with a subscription service. And as much as I want it to be about money, and let me tell you, mate, we weren't making money for a while. And I lost all my stuff. They were like, fuck this, mate. What do you mean I'm not going to get commissions? I'm like, we're not getting commissions anyway. We're not making any money. And so I was nimble enough to be able to change essentially a whole new business. So our service didn't change. Our model changed. So think of it like a rent roll for recruitment. Something I knew a lot about, something I've sat in the P&L meetings for, something I knew about building. And I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. And the first 20 clients were very, very difficult to get on board, because the first thing I heard was, and I probably can say this because I think they're bankrupt, but they said, you're purple bricks, aren't you, for recruitment? And I went, yes, but no. And so explain that to people when we had no money. I had no money, like none. And I was like, nah, it's going to work, mate. Watch me. Like, and that first 20 was really hard. And then it was funny after that 20, it became easy. Word of mouth got around. They were talking to their friends and they're like, I've saved 80 grand in 6 months. I wanted to create a business where people can actually budget for recruitment. I wanted to take us from sales mode to supplier mode. And we've been able to do that. You know, recruiters spend years trying to create a base of 15 clients they can call anytime and sell a candidate to, and create a business relationship with and a personal. We have that with every client now. Because they don't call us as if we are another recruitment company. They call us as, well, that's my supplier. And so that changed the mentality around it. And, you know, we first offered it very cheap, $1,000 placements. The numbers don't stack, mate. but now, you know, now to the point where if you pay an annual subscription and get a leasing consultant, you've saved $3,000 or $4,000 just by doing that. So when people hire them, I'm like, go on subscription, what are you doing? But it's given, we haven't really had to do much BDM around it, which is the terrifying part. But the good thing about it was we've been able to make it work. So find out the lines, see what's going on. And I've been able to create a business where I know that people are going to be paid for the next 12 months. I know we're building into something. I've created a pod system that works. We have the guaranteed income sitting there so we can actually make budgetary decisions to not just make this great, but build an ecosystem around it. And so that has been really exciting. Especially when you tell a director, oh yeah, it's only 3K. They're like, you pardon? And I go, yeah, it's 3K. But they're like, get guaranteed and kick them out the door. I don't care. I'll pay. I'll give it back to you. And so people are shocked at that, which is cool.
And I think that just grabbing that word ecosystem, because what you've revolutionized is yes, recruitment for the real estate industry, but also the recruitment industry, because as you said, it's like, it's not the peaks and the troughs. You can now as a business for yourself, properly budget and also forecast and that kind of stuff for your own personal growth.
Which is wild. 100%. So look, it's not uncommon in the recruitment industry, but it's called something else. It's a tender. So like Toshiba might go to you and say, here's $200,000 a month. You place all of our roles.
Yep.
That's not going to happen in real estate.
Yep.
And you know, we don't deal with like the big commercials. We're residential. We're really good at residential. And we wanted to create a relationship where people said, well, we don't have to budget for $300,000 in recruitment. I have a client, wait, here's a case study. You look at me, I'm giving you a case study. Oh my God. I feel like I'm in an appraisal or something. I have a client who was spending about $390,000 in recruitment a year. Wild. And of course I got them when they weren't spending $390,000 a year, which that's fine. But in a year, they only spent $38,000 with me.
Wow.
And they hired more people. And so that conversation with that client, because we send them an update, hey, you've done this. And they're like, what the f- what? And I'm like, yeah, brother. Like, they're like, how? And I'm like, well, we have a non-exclusive relationship with our clients. So I truly, you know, me, capitalist, mm-hmm. I love capitalism. I think it's great. Don't quote me on that or chuck that on fucking TikTok. I'll get cancelled. But it's amazing. And also to anyone out there, I'm not looking for a monopoly. You know, I love a lot of fish. But if they can't find it with me, find it with someone else. Pay that one-off $18,000 fee because I can't find that person for you. And it's funny, before this, we would, you know, if we placed 50% of the roles that we had on our books, we were like cheering. The crazy part of this is we're placing 95%.
Oh.
So, you know, the strike rate there is huge. So when I talk to other recruitment business owners, not in real estate, because I try to keep away, I think I just want to keep away. They all say, mate, look at all the money you're saying no to. I said, mate, my business is paid for the next 5 years is yours. And that kind of brain switch, it just can't happen. And a lot of, I have a competitor who's attempting to do what I'm doing at the moment, and they're failing, not because of their ability. It's because it's a whole different business model.
Yep.
And, you know, if they called me and asked me, how do I do it? I would say, this is how I do it. Because it's, I just seem to be weirdly primed to be able to do it because I have this knowledge base here and I just had to employ it.
Yep. So true.
And that's just what I've done here. And let me tell you, it's messy. Anyone who thinks that business is get up at 5 a.m., go to the gym, get in the office at 7, grow up, it's messy. It is messy, and I have made so many F-U-C-K-E-D decisions. Oh, my God. 2020, I probably was my worst mental year of all time, but mm-hmm. I learned so much from it. Oh, my God.
Huge. Now, you have a great lens of what's happening out there through all your clients and the conversations that you're having. What are you seeing through your set of lenses out there in the real estate industry at the moment?
I don't believe it's a candidate short market in the sense that people are saying there's no candidates. There definitely is candidates. We just need to be managing expectations properly. I think people, one of the biggest issue our industry is having at the moment is that employees of real estate agencies have realized the real estate model doesn't work. Directors of businesses have not realized that the real estate model doesn't work. And they're only realizing it, especially on our, like when we speak to them, when their sales business starts paying bills, not just their property management business. It's not when they're, you know, their PMs are sitting there saying, we can't do this. The probably the biggest thing that we are doing at the moment is education around what a real estate business is. That's the biggest thing. It's, you know, sales associates being like, okay, what do you want to do? I want to make $1 million. All right, do you want $1 million in your bank or do you want $1 million GCI? And they're like, it's the same thing. And I'm like, oh God, brother. And then you would, and it's just, you know, it used to be that we wouldn't put someone forward for a job if they were a senior property manager if they couldn't tell us what the yearly net income of their portfolio was. Now I don't have one that could tell me. Why? They don't have to tell me because they wouldn't know. And so we're seeing this disconnect happen where people are saying, my staff's always screaming. I'm like, well, what are you explaining to them? What are you actually giving them insights on? If you have a sales associate in your business who doesn't understand what their take home will be if they are $1 million agent, you're failing them. If your property manager is sitting in front of you saying, I want a 20 grand increase, I want to be on 130K on 180 properties, and you say no, and they go, well, I don't get why you would say that, and you don't explain how a portfolio works, what the income is, then you're failing your employees. Because if they don't know, how can you want them to stop complaining? I think we need to be like, one of the biggest things we've done over the past 2 years is entry levels, right? We had about 40% of our industry leave during 2021 and 2022, right? It's going to take 8 to 10 years to rebuild that. And people need to be really, really honest with it. And the first conversations we would have with entry levels is, do you understand this industry? And if they didn't, there's a 30-minute conversation for us explaining. Being realistic, you know, wage bases have gone up in real estate, which is a really good thing. We're nowhere near professional services. But people in real estate businesses are treating themselves as if they are corporatized professional services. That's not the case, guys. It's not who we are. It's not part of our industry. You could have 20 offices with 10 people in each one. They're 10 small businesses. We need to start reminding people you can have a great life here. But real estate doesn't pay the highest wages, offers the least flexibility out of most places, and only 10% of people who walk into a sales environment in real estate last more than 4 years, wow. Right? People want to take home $1 million. Great. You've got to make 3.5 million.
Yep.
That's your GCI because you've got to pay 50%. You've got to pay the staff. You've got to pay the marketing costs. You've got to pay it all, you know, and there's probably 40 people in New South Wales who do that. The majority of people are walking around with it. Yeah. The majority of real estate agents in Australia are getting 180, 220K, which is an amazing life to lead, right? But we're not educating them on that could be a great goal. We're educating them on be the best, do the best. And then the other thing that kind of, I probably shouldn't be saying on the podcast, but I've said this to you 100 times, it's getting worse for women. It's getting so much worse for women.
Outside.
Oh my God. Because women are finally saying, this is how much I'm worth and this is my skill set. And they're being called abrasive, rude, mean, and hard to deal with. And as a recruiter, it's tough because I sit there and I'm like, well, she's asking for what the bloke is asking for. And they're also sitting in offices saying, I'm not doing that. I'm a sales agent. Why am I going to do leasing opens? Why am I printing off stuff for the receptionist? I'm the highest paid person in this business. And so that mentality change, good on you, girls, has radicalized things. And you know what they're saying? And this is smart. People want to say, why did we lose property managers? It wasn't COVID. It wasn't COVID at all. It was that we expected them to do 1 million things at once and treated them like shit.
Yeah.
The majority of what we lost was female property managers. The majority of what we lost was property managers in offices of 3 or less property managers. The majority of property managers we left are women between the ages of 32 and 50. So we're not losing young ones. We're losing women who are of an age where they can say, you don't talk to me like that. You don't treat me like that. You don't act as though I have no skill base here. And that has been a huge education point for us. Because look, we're not an HR business. I never want to be seen as an HR business. But a lot of the time, I'm onto clients saying, "You can really call Reef because this is not seeming like it's a good idea, right?" I'm like, "Oh God."
But can I just jump in there for a sec? Like, can you see? So those businesses that are thriving,
mm-hmm.
are they the businesses that the owners and the directors and the principals are explaining and educating their staff mm-hmm. of those expectations? Mm-hmm. Are listening to the female employees go, yeah, cool, let's take this initiative and how can we further support you, guide you, help you, and take you on that journey compared to those who are maybe, you know, just surviving or not surviving, the complete opposite. Is that like a summary of what you're noticing out there?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, look, I love 2009 real estate. I love it. Like, it was disgusting to be a part of. I miss it. My first day of real estate, my brother walked me out the office and pointed to an office across the road and said, "You ever talk to anyone from that office?" And you're dead, right? Fun times, you know, printing out ads and putting them in glass on the, it was delicious, right? The world's changed, guys. It's completely changed. And if our industry doesn't look at how we can make our work, people choose real estate. I don't think people get it. Majority of people who aren't sales agents who choose real estate choose it for a lifestyle. The lifestyle no longer exists. They can't, they most of the time are not working close to home. Most of the time don't have flexible hours. Most of the time are now having to work weekends and are there till 9 p.m. or sitting on a laptop at 9 p.m. at home. And so we're asking more of people and we're not giving them what they need. The most successful businesses I have wage caps.
Yep.
So they tell everyone, these are our levels. This is how much you can make in this business. They have EAP, so employee assistance programs for great mental health. They look at culture and they realize that saying we're a family is toxic, but making sure everyone feels like they're in an inclusive environment. And they're not a democracy, but they listen. And they're the businesses who are like, okay, how do we make this work so that everyone wins? Mm-hmm. The businesses I'm dealing with that are sales at the top, admin in the middle, property management at the bottom are being destroyed because they can't keep up. And it's be a lot of the time, and it's, you know, I say this all the time, it's your fault. It's your fault. Like, I have to say it to myself every day. At the end of the day, it's your fault. There's a fuck up here for a reason. So that is...
Based from that, just taking that, then where do you see then if those who are thriving and doing what you said that they are doing well and those who are just mm-hmm. surviving and not doing that kind of stuff, where do you see then that play out over the next, say, 12 months?
We're already seeing it. My good clients are buying my clients who are struggling.
Got it. So a lot of amalgamation, a lot of
mergers? A lot of amalgamation. A lot of it's franchise. You have people who own, you know, I've always said people who own a franchise for 7 to 10 years and have made it well, it's time to graduate. It's time to buy competitors. It's time to build red rolls. You know, we have this thing in Sydney at the moment where a company overseas is buying up about 15 to 20 rent rolls. They're going to put 30 property managers in the western suburbs in a business park and have leasing clerks running around, right? So that's already here. It's already coming. We already know where it's happening. Fine. People have got to go and move from I'm a sales agent who's a director to I'm a director who does also sales. And that is really difficult. It's really difficult. My favorite thing in the entire world is recruiting. If I can do people management, but I have to. I have to make sure my business works. And so if you can't do it, invest in someone who can. Great general managers that can come outside of industry into ours. And I'm sick of people saying, well, they've never got no real estate experience. I'm like, well, they're not selling the house. And like, there's like people like, well,
they're managing people.
Well, they don't understand how real estate, the award works. And I'm like, it's not that convoluted. It's not that hard. Like, they're coming from working on other companies in general manager positions. What do you think we're doing, brain science? No, we're small businesses in retail. I own a retail business, professional services. Take people from other industries, bring them in and learn from them. So I think it's real estate. People are actually not running after money at the moment. The number one thing we're seeing is that regardless of what position, they want to meet the director before they make their decision. And so I think everyone's kind of realized that every decision, every business comes from the director. If everything's fucked up, it's because of the director. I know in 2020, everything in my business fucked up. Why? Me. It's me. James, I'm the problem. It was me. And, you know, after a good, 6 months of therapy, which I won, by the way, only 6 months, not 3 years. Look at me. I learned that I was the problem. Right. So you have to do it. You know, if you want to invest in a business and have people turn up every day, how hard is it to say, well, what can I do better about myself? Very different to when you first met me. Remember when you told me to journal and I told you to go fuck yourself. And you are a tree of life, scam artist. Now look at me. I'm bloody journaling.
Shining light.
I know. I meditated yesterday. You should have seen it. It was wild.
Love it. So what about you? What's coming up? What's some exciting projects that you're working on or coming up over the next little while?
Building the ecosystem. Can't get into that too much. Building the subscriber base. So we're doing well in Sydney. We're doing well in Brisbane. Melbourne's doing okay. Adelaide's picking up. It's going national. So that's kind of the next step, is making sure that people know more about us. As you know, I am I detest social media. I hate it. And I don't like using it in my business because I liked it. No one knows who works for me. It's great. We're silent assassins. I don't want my photo out there. But now we are going to have to do that, right? So it's that next step of me over the next 12 months no longer recruiting, which is terrifying. I don't really like that because I've got to work on the business, not in the business. I'll still look after my portfolio, right? I'll still recruit my own clients. But yeah, it's just kind of graduating. That's right. What we're looking at it as, graduating.
Yeah, love it. So we've got a 60-second quick quiz with a bunch of questions to find out a little bit more about who is Taylor Shepherd. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, good. Favorite movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. Notting Hill and Beaches. Oh, my God, at the end when they're holding hands and she looks over. Oh, God. Every time.
Favorite food?
A food I can't cook. I can cook everything else. Mexican food. And I prefer to eat it wearing a white t-shirt so it gets everywhere.
Love it. Favorite holiday destination?
Anywhere I can ski.
Okay, good. Morning routine?
Get up, run with the dogs. I'm up early, 5:30. Coffee in the office early, starting my day before I have to piss off people.
Love it. Evening routine?
Keep it chill. I keep it very, very chill. Dogs. I cook because no one else bloody can. I'm fucking with an Aussie. They don't cook. And then trash TV, like Drag Race, Housewives, comedians on Channel 10, boring shit. I love it.
Love it. If you could choose 5 inspirational people to have dinner with, who would they be? They could be either dead or alive.
Ooh. Let's go with disruptors. I'm not going to say anyone in business because I don't really care about that. And I hope that people know who these people are. Jeannie Little. Remember Jeannie Little from Beauty and the Beast?
Oh, yep.
Like, love her. She was 100% herself. Carlotta. Love Carlotta. Maria Venuti, because I love Mrs. Venuti. What are you talking about? Christopher Pan, because I love him. And then that saucy minx, Julie Bishop. Love her.
What a great dinner.
That'd just be a good time. You get a bottle of tequila. We're all living our lives. That's all I want at dinner. I don't learn anything.
Love it. If you were Prime Minister for the day, what's one thing that you would change?
I have 2 things for you. First thing would be that it would be illegal to say price withheld when you've sold a property.
Okay.
I think that's really bad for the sales market. The second one would be I would try to find a way to make it easier for women over the ages of 50 who are single in Australia, not just to survive, but to thrive, because I think we treat them like shit. And it really pisses me off.
Yep. Fantastic. Best piece of advice?
Number one, it's all your fault. Don't be scared of bushfires because trees grow pretty well after.
Oh, there's a good metaphor.
Yeah, there. My dad told me that when I was like 12 and I was crying about coming last in a subject at school.
Fantastic. And so how can the audience get in touch with you to find out more information?
I don't know. Call me. Or they can go on our website, which is pretty crap. We're getting it rebuilt at the moment. God, arm and a leg, that is. We do have a social media account, VREC, on Instagram. We don't have Facebook because no one uses Facebook. We don't have LinkedIn because I don't want to have LinkedIn. That terrifies me. There's a lot of Trump stuff on there, mate. It terrifies me. You know, Website, phone, give me a call. No one ever calls anymore. I don't get it. But yeah, call me. I'm here.
Love it. Taylor, really appreciate it, mate. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the pearls of wisdom and the wisdom. Energy, the experience.
What wisdom, everything brother. What are you talking about? I'm just a guy on a Friday afternoon about to do my accounts. Shut up.
Love it. Thanks, mate. Talk to you soon.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.